intensives. So give us a call at Vaughn, 91-133-5833 for more information.
Llámanos para que uno de nuestros asesores expertos te informe de muchas otras opciones. 91-133-5833. El Máster en Inglés Profesional te ofrece este programa.
Everybody, welcome. Welcome to the Drive Time Show. It's Thursday.
Hello, Kyle. How are you, my friend?
Good. Very good. I'm doing very well. We have a nice program for you today, a nice Drive Time Show. Today, I'm going to tell you about, some history, a little bit of history today. The first McDonald's restaurant in Russia opened on this day in 1990. Actually, it was yesterday. It was actually the 31st of January, but más o menos, more or less, in 1990. So we'll have a look at that development in communist Russia, the first McDonald's opening, and we'll look at some facts about that. Also, some interesting news about, about my country, about Canada. And a change to the Canadian national anthem is a trending topic, at least in my country today, and we'll find out why. They have changed the national anthem and what the change was. And we'll also look at, grammar and pronunciation, all kinds of wonderful things. We have lots to talk about on the show today, so let's get it started. How about that? My name's Kyle Miller, and welcome to Drive Time.
Welcome to Drive Time with Kyle Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Drive Time Show. It's Thursday. Thanks for deciding to spend some time with us, to spend some time on your English, right? Hey, I got to do something about my English. Well, you've come to the right place.
Estamos on aire.
We are. We're on the air, and we have a nice program for you today. We have, a story that I read just on my way here on the metro. I read an interesting story that I want to share with you in just a moment. But first, I want to begin with an interactive section we call the Twitter Translation.
Twitter Translation.
All right. Yes, the Twitter Translation, everybody. We're going to start with that, the sentence. I'm going to give you a sentence in Spanish and you can write in and tell me what it is in English, right? No problem, right? So if people want to participate, Tino, how can they find me on Twitter?
Kyle at I'm Kyle Miller.
O lo que viene siendo IM Kyle Millar.
Yes, I'm Kyle Miller is the name on Twitter. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Hay muchos altibajos a lo largo del año. That's true, isn't it, Tino? He says, yeah, oh, eso sí, claro. Yes, es que hay muchos altibajos a lo largo del año. A lo largo de. How do you say that in English? A lo largo del año. We'll talk about that a little later, but for now, we're gonna move on. And we're gonna begin with some translation sentences. This is a popular section of the show. We call it the warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym.
The warm-up gym, everybody. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? Yeah. All right, everybody's ready. Okay, number one. Él ha hecho cosas que yo no hice de joven. He's done things that I didn't do when I was young. He's done things that I didn't do, that I didn't do. When I was young. He's done things that I didn't do when I was young. Number two. Yo lo vi, pero ella no lo ha visto todavía. I saw it, but she hasn't seen it yet. I saw it. I saw. Yo lo vi, pero ella no lo ha visto todavía. I saw it. I saw it. Yo lo vi. But she hasn't seen it yet. So remember the why, it's like yellow, yo-yo, yahoo, yes, yet. I saw it, but she hasn't seen it yet. Okay, number three. Él siempre gana, pero yo nunca he ganado. He always wins, but I've never won. He always wins, right? Él siempre gana, pero yo nunca he ganado. Es lo que pasa aquí, Tino. Es que yo no. Él siempre gana. He always wins, but I've never won. Number four. Nunca le he dejado hacer lo que quiere. I've never let her do what she wants. That's not very nice, is it? That's not very nice. Number five. No hemos crecido tanto como crecimos en mayo. Es que mayo... Well, it's a good month, right? We haven't grown as much as we grew in May. We haven't grown. No hemos crecido. We haven't grown as much as we grew in May. Number six. Todavía vivo en Nueva York. I still live in New York. Yeah. Okay. Let's go with number seven. Number seven. I'm changing lists here, folks. I'm changing lists. ¿Por qué no lo has hecho todavía? Why haven't you done it yet?
Now come on now.
Yeah, why haven't you done it yet? ¿Por qué no lo has hecho todavía? Why haven't you, como masticar, no? Chew. Why haven't you done it yet? Vendí el coche, pero aún no he vendido la casa. Vendí el coche. I sold the car, but I haven't sold the house yet. I sold the car, But I haven't sold the house yet. Not yet. Envié la carta, pero aún no he enviado las fotos. I sent the letter, but I haven't sent the pictures yet. I sent the letter, but I haven't sent the pictures yet. This next one is true. It's true, everybody. No aprenderás si no estudias. Claro que sí. You won't learn if you don't study.
A por ello.
Exactly. Come on, you gotta ponerse las pilas, right? You have to work on it. You have to work on it. No aprenderás si no estudias. You won't learn if you don't study. You won't learn if you don't study. Okay. Let's do two more. No estoy acostumbrado a ir al trabajo en coche. Ir en coche? We say to drive. We don't say to go by car normally. We say to drive. To drive, right? Estoy acostumbrado a ir al trabajo en coche. ¿Vale? I'm used to driving to work. I'm used to. Estoy acostumbrado a. I'm used to driving to work. To be used to. Let's do one more. Ya te acostumbrarás. You'll get used to it. Ya te acostumbrarás. Con el tiempo, ¿eh? Con un par de días. Bueno, right? You'll get used to it. So we have the structure to get used to. To get used to. This is a good one. To get used to and then to be used to. To be used to is acostumbrarse a. To become accustomed to something. To get used to. To become accustomed to something. To get used to something. I'm used to Spanish food. Right? I am used to Spanish food. I used to eat Canadian food, but now I eat Spanish food. That's a different one. That was used to plus infinitive, which is the past form, right? Right, they have the past form, the subject used to infinitive. I used to live in Canada. I used to walk to school. I used to ride my bike to school. I used to play ice hockey in the wintertime. Then I came to Spain and I had to get used to taking the metro. Now I am used to it. So to be used to is after you finish getting used to, right, becoming accustomed to something, you then are used to it. I'm used to this office. I'm used to the radio. I'm used to speaking on the radio. I'm used to speaking on the radio. But it took me months to get used to speaking on the radio. It took me a long time to get used to it. But now I'm used to it. I'm completely used to it. 10 years ago, I didn't used to speak on the radio. But now I do. And I got used to it. It took me a while to get used to it, that temporary adjustment period. But now I am used to it. So we have really three different forms of used to there, really. We have used to plus infinitive. I used to live in Canada. I didn't used to work on the radio. I used to work. I used to give English classes. I used to just give English classes, and now I do other things. Subject used to infinitive, past form. And then we have the other side, which is the to be used to get used to, and to be used to, which is acostumbrado a o acostumbrarse a. So to get used to is the temporary transition, And then when you complete the transition, you are used to something. And you can't be used to something until you get used to it. Right? My ear is used to hearing English because I heard it a lot growing up and I've heard it all my life. So my ear is used to it. And I'm used to speaking it. Once you get used to something, it becomes easier. Right? So anyway, hopefully this makes sense. Now, I want to read a little story. I want to take a look at a little story that I saw, and I found it to be a nice little story about, it was a story from Canada, in fact. Let me see if I get it, if I can find it. I have to open up my internet here. But it was a story about, Canadian hockey player Sidney Crosby. Now, Sidney Crosby is probably the greatest. Yeah, he's the best hockey player in the world today. On a given year, right? On a given year, he might not win. He might not win the scoring race. Like right now, he might not be winning the scoring race this year, but he's considered to be the best in the world. But the story that I find interesting here is about him on vacation. You see, in the NHL, the National Hockey League, they have what they call a bye week. Now, a bye is like in a tournament, you can have a bye in the tournament, which means you automatically pass to the next level, or you automatically, automatically advance. Or you have a bye week, it means you don't play that week. So sometimes that happens in football, right, Tino? Some teams have a bye week. When they don't have a game, they have a free week. It's called having a bye week. So anyway, Sidney Crosby, this player, as I scroll through my news feed looking for the article. Sidney Crosby was on a bye week, okay, he was in the province of Quebec. He was on holiday. And, basically there was a young guy that was out playing outdoor hockey on, I can't find the article now. This is terrible. But, he was playing outdoor hockey on a rink. And Sidney Crosby went up to the young guy and said, "Hey, I want to see the ice." The ice. Now he was playing on outdoor ice, and he said, "Look, I'd like to see the ice." And the guy said, "Oh my God, this is Sidney Crosby." It's like imagine if I'm on a field playing football, you know, all alone, and then all of a sudden. Cristiano Ronaldo walks up and says, "Hey, can I play too?" He says, "Of course." You know, so the guy was obviously really, really excited about it. But, so he was playing pickup hockey. So he was just, the guy was just skating around on the ice. So Sidney Crosby said, "Can I join?" So the guy said, "Of course, that would be great." So he started to, joined him and started skating around on the ice. And he said Sidney Crosby was very humble and, in fact, wanted to practice. He said, "We spent about 2 or 3 hours practicing." Now, I've actually found the article, so I'm going to read this to you. But they spent a while practicing. So this guy says his name was Guillaume Ouimet. And he says, he was skating on an outdoor rink in Mont-Tremblant, Quebec. And he thought he would be skating alone, but up walked, right up, a guy approached him, that was Sidney Crosby. So Sidney Crosby goes up and he asked me a question about the ice and if I was alone. And then I told him that I was alone, and I said, "If you want to skate, please join me." So Crosby said, "Yeah," and he put his skates on and he went out and they enjoyed the ice together. Now, the interesting thing, and the reason why I want to share this article, is that Crosby wanted to practice. So he actually went and he did exercises. So he did. So even though he's the best player in the world and he's on an outdoor skating rink, right? Pista de hielo outside. And he sat down on a snowbank like a kid, put on his skates, and he started doing drills, right? Doing exercises and practicing, exiting their own defensive zone. And he said he wanted to work on some exercises, on some drills, right? So Crosby said, look, even though I'm on vacation this week, I want to spend my time working on these drills. I want to improve. And he was also a very nice guy. He spent time, you know, talking with the other young guy. And he said they went into the dressing room and he said Crosby felt fairly nostalgic as well about the experience of playing on an outdoor rink, and sort of it reminded him of the roots of, of where he came from and the hours and hours and hours of practice on, unofficial ice surfaces very often, or in rinks or in his basement or whatever, where he just practiced and practiced and practiced. So the moral of the story is, as we say, practice makes perfect. And even though he is the greatest in the world, he says, I want to practice. If I have a few moments, I want to spend my time practicing because I want to get better. And that's an impressive thing. And that's really an amazing thing. And if you can adapt that, you can take that to your English, let's say. Say, look, even though my English is now getting better, I want to keep working. I want to keep pushing. I want to challenge myself and sort of push it to the next level. That's what you need to be doing. But when you want to improve because you love it, that's so much better. And then improvement and enjoyment go hand in hand, right? When you enjoy the learning process, you're naturally going to spend more time with it. You're going to spend more time studying when you enjoy it, or spend more time with the language when you enjoy it. You're going to spend more time with the guitar when you love playing it. And then as a result, so it's a double benefit. And you're enjoying it and you're also improving at an accelerated pace because you're passionate about it. And that was the case with Sidney Crosby. Anyway, all right, let's push forward. Hey, why don't we take a look at a little bit of vocabulary, shall we, Tino? All right, we have a little bit of vocabulary today. Now, we're going to talk about dinner, la cena today. Dinner, everybody. Today we have la comida principal, right? Dinner. La sopa, you can have soup. ¿Y el caldo? ¿Cómo es el caldo? You say broth. So you sit down and say, hey, can I have the broth? Can I have some, chicken broth? El guiso. Stew. Curry. We say curry. That was easy, right? Curry, C-U-R-R-Y. El asado. Roast. El pastel. Pie. Do you like pie, Tino? Yeah, Tino likes pie. El pincho, bueno, pincho can be a, like on the stick, right? A pincho that's on the long skewer is called a kebab. Anyway, albóndigas, meatballs, yeah. Porque son bolas, yeah, you know what I mean? They're little balls of meat, right? It makes sense. Tiene sentido, no? It makes sense. La tortilla. Omelet, of course. El revuelto, stir fry. I used to make these. Stir fry. Arroz. If you're from Valencia, you're going to like this one. Rice. Ensalada mixta. Mixed salad. Ensalada verde. Green salad. El aliño. Alinearlo, hombre. Right, to dress the salad with the salad dressing. To dress, D-R-E-S-S, como vestirse. To dress, right? But the salad dressing. All right. relleno, we say stuffed. S-T-U-F-F-E-D. Oh, boy, it was stuffed. Like relleno de pavo, no? El pavo. And Thanksgiving, the stuffing, which is very good, very tasty. One of my favorite parts of the meal, or Christmas as well. Adobado. We say marinated. Remember this one, Tino? Marinated. To marinate. You know, in a little sauce or something, right? Marinate. Marinate. Marinated. Yeah. Oh, let's do two more. We have echo puré. Echo puré, which is mashed. M-A-S-H-E-D. Mashed. 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 Y frito. Con poco aceite, we could say pan-fried. And if there's a lot of, if there's more oil, you could say simply fried or deep-fried. To deep-fry is when you, like potatoes, patatas fritas, they're deep-fried. You know, they're submerged completely in the fat, right, in the grease. Deep-fried. Right? Anyway, okay. We have to take a break already, everybody. Quick break. A quick one. A couple of minutes. I'll be back in a few minutes with plenty more. So whatever you do, don't touch that dial.
Estás escuchando Vaughan Radio.
Bienvenidos a la mini clase de hoy. ¿Cómo decimos cuesta en inglés?
Slope.
Muy bien. ¿Cómo sería entonces ayer subí y bajé la cuesta tres veces?
Yesterday I went up and down the slope three times.
That's it. ¿Y cuando algo te cuesta porque es complicado decimos?
It slopes.
Meh. Para expresar que algo te cuesta, lo que decimos en inglés simplemente es I find it hard. Vamos a practicarlo. Levantarme por las mañanas.
I find it hard to get up in the mornings.
Very good. Entender las películas en inglés.
I find it hard to understand the films in English.
To understand the film in English.
To understand the film in English.
Very good. Aprender inglés.
I find it hard to learn English.
To learn English, very good.
¿Y a ti? ¿Se te hace cuesta arriba el inglés? Este año te ayudamos a subir la cuesta del inglés con nuestros cursos trimestrales. Clases 100% método Vaughan para todos los niveles que te darán el empujón que necesitas para vencer todas tus dificultades con el idioma. Más información en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.
Llámanos para que uno de nuestros asesores expertos te informe de muchas otras opciones. 91-133-5833.
What are you reading?
Well, you know, I didn't know the meat temperatures in Spanish, and I think this is so important. Bien hecho, en su punto, and I really didn't know it in Spanish. Of course, in English, it's real easy. It's rare.
That's right.
Right, el más crudo es rare, que es también algo como un diamante, rare, que no ves mucho, ¿no? Rare. Then we have medium rare.
Yep.
That's how I like mine. How do you like yours?
I like mine rare.
Rare. So, whoa, you like it bloody.
I like it bloody.
No blood. Bloody. 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 Right? So medium rare. Then medium, which I think is like en su punto, right?
That's
medium
right.
is en su punto. Then for people who like it a little more well done, you have medium well. And then, lo que yo llamo el zapato, well done.
And then burnt.
And then burnt.
But nobody wants it burnt.
Hey, but you know, it sounds like something so simple. Algo tan sencillo, but a lot of people don't know the different meat temperatures.
And how does the waiter ask you when he's coming to take your order?
They will usually say something like, how would you like it cooked? Or how would you like your meat cooked?
Or how would you like it done?
How would you like it done as well? Yeah. And that's where I would say medium rare. And you would say?
Rare.
All right. So guys, practice these because there's nothing worse than going to a restaurant and not getting the meat cooked the way you want it.
So where's the best place to practice this, Alberto?
I think you've got to go to a great steakhouse in New York. I could recommend a few. But you know what? If you want to find more information like this, you can go to chapter 2 of my first book ever, English Everywhere, and where I take you to the restaurant and we look at all this useful vocabulary that you'll need to get by in a restaurant.
That's English Everywhere.
That's right.
Written by Alberto Alonso.
Inglés en cualquier parte y disponible en cualquier parte.
Absolutely.
Primero.
First.
Segundo.
Second.
Tercero.
Third.
Cuarto.
Fourth.
Quinto.
Fifth.
Sexto.
Sixth.
Séptimo.
Seventh.
Octavo.
Eighth.
Noveno.
Ninth.
Décimo.
Tenth.
El Máster en Inglés Profesional te ofrece este programa. Si estás pensando en hacer alguno de los Máster en Inglés Profesional de Vaughan, te invitamos a una prueba de nivel gratuita para que lo tengas mucho más claro y sin ningún tipo de compromiso. Infórmate sobre cómo hacerla en el 91-133-5833.
Everybody, welcome back. Welcome to the Drive Time Show, the second half hour. Today, you can listen to us in Bilbao. Did you know that we're in Bilbao, everybody? 97.3 FM in Bilbao. And, of course, 100.4 FM in Madrid. 91.8 in Vigo. Lots of ways to tune in. Lots of ways to enjoy Vaughan Radio and the Drive Time Show. Let's begin. Oh, I want to tell you about a little challenge that I have shared on the Vaughan Radio app, everybody. I don't do this every day, but here we are on the Vaughan Radio. If you don't have the app, you can get it for free. It's another great way to enjoy Vaughan Radio anywhere in the world, or even from Mars. If you happen to go to Mars and have an internet connection, you can you can listen to us there, or from the International Space Station. Anywhere you have an internet connection, you can find Vaughan Radio through the app. All right, through the app. So, my question is, ¿cómo se dice en inglés adobado? Adobado. Okay. Now, if you were listening, if you were paying attention earlier, then you should know that I talked about this. So, adobado, ¿cómo se dice en inglés? Option A. Sauced. What do you think, Tino? Sauced? ¿Te suena? Tino says, no, no sé. B, passed to PDF. Adobado? Well. Number three, marinated. Marinated. Is that the word? M-A-R-I-N-A-T-E-D. Marinated. And D, adobated. Adobated. Is that the word? ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Adobado. Do we say adobated? I don't know. So which one is it, A, B, C, or D? Let me know. Tell me. And we'll talk about it a little bit later on. Yeah? Okay, and I see some answers already. We have about 75%, a little more than 75% with the right answers so far, but I see some wrong answers too. So let me know. Participate in this one. And some people are laughing as well about one of the answers. Anyway, one of the options. Hey, why don't we see what people are talking about in the online world, everybody? Let's go ahead with today's trending topic.
Trending topics!
All right, everybody. Okay. Trending topic. The Senate passed a bill to make O Canada the lyrics to O Canada gender neutral? Huh. Now, of course, I'm talking about the Senate of Canada, right? The Canadian Senate has passed a law today to make the lyrics to O Canada gender neutral. So you see, there is a line in the song. Now, this is the Hymno Nacional. In English, we say the national anthem. We don't say national hymn. There is the word hymn, H-Y-M-N. But a hymn in English is almost exclusively used for religion, for religious songs. So if you go to church, you can sing hymns. But if you go to the Olympics, when someone wins a gold medal, they play the national anthem. So the government in Canada has said, oh, we need to change the national anthem's lyrics, la letra, we say the lyrics to the anthem, to make them gender neutral. Now, they overwhelmingly passed a private member's bill in 2016 that would alter the anthem. But now the Senate has made it official. So another layer of government. But the line is, in all thy son's command. In all thy, which is like Old English for your or the or your son's command. So there's a line in there. It says, in all thy son's command. And they're changing it to in all of us command. This is part of a push to strike sort of gendered language out of the anthem. So the bill was introduced by a Liberal member of parliament who actually died in 2016. And now it must receive royal assent by the governor general before it becomes officially law. But certainly that will happen. Now, since 1980, when O Canada officially became the country's anthem, 12 different bills have been introduced in the House to remove the word sons, and they were considered discriminatory, except for the term was considered discriminatory, but they were all struck down until now. The song was written back in 1908, and it has been changed a few times before, but now they're changing it once again to in all of us command. So, O Canada, our home and native land, true patriot love. In the new line, true patriot love in all of us command would be the new line. So, I don't know. I'm a bit of a classic on this. I like kind of classic things like this, but I suppose I understand the interest in making it gender neutral. But anyway, that's big news in Canada. Anyway, I thought I would share that. I find it's kind of an interesting piece and an interesting indication of our push towards gender equality. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go forward. Hey, why don't we take a look at an expression? I know Tino likes expressions. How about our expression of the day?
Expression of the day.
Oh, that was a good one. It's been a while since we heard that one. Hey, Tino?
Do-do-do-do-do-boop-boop-boop-boop.
Our expression today is fat chance. Fat chance. So chance, una posibilidad. But, pero, gorda. Eh? But a fat chance, una posibilidad gorda, right? But no, in English we say fat chance. It's an ironic statement indicating that something is very unlikely to happen. So, hey, Kyle, could you beat Nadal at tennis? If I played against Nadal, do you think I could win? Fat chance of that. So it's saying like, it's being sarcastic and saying that the chance is fat, the chance is big, the chance is substantial. But it's a sarcastic comment indicating that really the chance of me beating Rafa Nadal at tennis is very, very small. Right? Yeah, exactly. So we use it to refer to something that is incredibly unlikely. Now, we also have another expression which has a very similar meaning, which is actually, there's a very slim chance. So we say fat chance and slim chance. But both of them actually mean that there is a small chance. But the fat example is being sarcastic. Right? You're being sarcastic. Like you never use it saying, oh, there is a fat chance, meaning there is, you know, there is a significant chance. We're not going to say, oh, a fat chance. No, a fat chance is always used sarcastically to mean that there's a very small probability of something happening. Fat chance of that. Fat chance of that happening. Hey, I know you'll like grammar. Why don't we take a look at an interesting little bit of grammar here, and actually a little term we use in the business world. We have the idea of creating a publicity stunt. Stunt. S-T-U-N-T. So a stunt is like a little trick or something to gain attention. A publicity stunt. Like a few years ago, was it maybe 2 years ago now, that a guy went up to the top of the atmosphere and he jumped out of the airplane from very, 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 very high, and he was sponsored by Red Bull, right? And everybody was filming him. Everybody in the world watched it on YouTube. And it was a publicity stunt by Red Bull. So a stunt is like a little trick. Do you say ardid publicitario? Ardid? Tina says, no, I don't like that one. Some people say that, have told me that that word's acceptable, but others say no. No, eso no se dice mucho. Eh? But a stunt, S-T-U-N-T, so like a little trick to draw attention. A publicity stunt. And we can stage. Es montar. To literally, like a stage is the escenario, the stage, but as a verb, to stage, to put something on stage, to show something, to, you know, set it up. So to stage a publicity stunt. So let's practice with this one. I'm going to ask you a question. I'd like you to give me an affirmative answer. Did they stage a publicity stunt during the festival? Say yes. Yes. They staged a publicity stunt during the festival. Have you staged a publicity stunt before? Yes. I've staged a publicity stunt before. Does staging a publicity stunt always work? Say yes. Oh, yes, Kyle. Staging a publicity stunt always works. Will you stage a publicity stunt this summer? Say yes. Yes. I'll stage a publicity stunt this summer, or we'll stage a publicity stunt this summer. Okay. So there you go. There you go. To stage a publicity stunt. Okay. Let's move forward, everybody. A little bit more to talk about as we look at history. Let's talk about this day today in history.
Today in history.
Today in history, and it's actually, I'm cheating a little bit. Estoy haciendo trampas aquí. Eh? I'm cheating a little bit. Because today I'm actually going to look at yesterday. It was actually yesterday, the 31st of January, back in 1990, that the first McDonald's restaurant opened in the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union. Yeah. And the appearance of this, in fact, people lined up, and I should mention that the amount of money needed to buy a Big Mac and French fries and a drink was basically equivalent to several days' wages. It's like you had to work 3 days to be able to buy a Big Mac, but they wanted it bad. Now, it was this, it's interesting. It's an interesting topic because McDonald's, of course, is a famous symbol of capitalism. And this enthusiastic reception it received from the Russian people were signs that times were changing in the Soviet Union. There was an American journalist there on the scene who said that customers seemed most amazed at the simple sight of polite shop workers, right? They were used to people being, you know, emotionless. A Soviet journalist had a more practical opinion, saying that the restaurant was the expression of America's rationalism and pragmatism towards food. He also says that it was sort of a contrast with Russia's unrealized pretensions. And he said it was sad but also challenging to see this. So it's something very, very different from the typical restaurant experience or any sort of cultural experience in Russia at the time. So for the average Russian customer, however, visiting the restaurant was less a political statement and rather an opportunity to enjoy a small pleasure in a country that was still dealing with disastrous economic problems and all kinds of political problems. So the arrival of McDonald's in Moscow was a small but significant sign that change was coming. And in fact, it did. Less than 2 years later, the Soviet Union ceased to exist as a nation. Mikhail Gorbachev resigned as the leader of the country, and various Soviet republics announced their independence. And as the American reporter I mentioned before said, the first Russian McDonald's customers had seen the future, and it works, at least as far as their digestive tract. So, yes, so it works. It seems to work, at least in terms of providing maybe what for them was considered a tasty meal. So a few facts about McDonald's in Russia. A few facts. Let's see. There are at least the time of my records here documenting, there's about 520 McDonald's restaurants in Russia. 73 of them were opened in 2014. The company's total revenue for 2014 in Russia was over 65 billion rubles. So it's about 700,000 700 million euros, approximately. McDonald's acquired its first franchise partner in 2012. A company called Razbiti Rost received the right to open the restaurants in certain transportation hubs. So we're talking about airports and train stations and so on. 20 more restaurants will be opened as part of the new franchise project across Siberia. So more are on the way. But Europe's largest restaurant is situated in Moscow. Europe's largest McDonald's is in Moscow, Russia. Notice you say Moscow. Moscow. I don't say Moscow or Ku. Moscow, no. Moscow. The size of the restaurant is about, 2,500 square meters. It opened in January of 1990, and the restaurant set a record for daily visitors, serving about 30,000 customers. My gosh. 30,000 customers in one day. So they'll say, holy cow, that was a successful launch. The same restaurant set another record in 2008, having served 2.8 million customers in a year. And it became the most visited restaurant out of all the McDonald's locations in the world. So the most popular, most visited McDonald's restaurant. In August of 2014, McDonald's restaurants were closed in Russia due to a decision made by public health you know, a public health watchdog, as you say. A watchdog is like an organization that observes, that documents, and tries to protect customers and consumers. So a lot of people thought it was politically motivated, but they basically conducted mass inspections of the chain and started to crack down on certain health standards violations in some of the restaurants. But yeah, a lot of people think it was political, but who knows? Anyway, McDonald's. So very successful in Russia. Very successful. Okay, let's see what people are saying. We have a lot of people writing in about our Twitter translation, Tino. A lot of people writing in. ¿Cómo se dice en inglés? Hay muchos altibajos a lo largo del año. Let's see what people are saying. Muchos altibajos. We have Jessica. Jessica Acosta says, there are many ups and downs during the year. She had durind, but I'm sure she means during. Okay. Ups and downs. Altibajos. Very good. Oh, now we have Ingrid said, fat chance is sarcastic. Slim chance, little chance, and shares a nice, a cool sort of GIF, your GIF image. Manuel says, there are many ups and downs alongside the year. But alongside is like moving along, like al lado de, but moving along, like driving. We drove alongside the lake. We were on the land, but driving with the lake by our side. That would be alongside. There are many ups and downs throughout. That's what I'm looking for, throughout the year. There are many ups and downs throughout the year, and Maria Pilar says that. There are many ups and downs throughout the year. There are many ups and downs all the year long. Okay, you could say all year long. You could say that. There are lots of ups and downs over the year. Okay, I'll accept that, over the year, throughout the year. Eduardo, Juan Antonio, Dana is there. There are many ups and downs over the year. That's why the team stands no chance of winning the current championship. Jesus is throwing in his little extra information there. Saeed's got the right answer. Over the year. Okay, that works. Over the year. You can say throughout the year or over the year. Along the year. I'll take that too. So many people writing in. I also have another question here. Kyle, can I ask you a question? Fran Javier has a question for me. He says, Kyle, can I ask you a question, Kyle? When you say the word about, you sound completely Irish. Why? I don't know. I think I sound Canadian when I say that. The O-U-T sound is the best way to differentiate a Canadian from an American, from a person from the United States, I'll say. They say out or something like that, and we say out. So out and about. I'd say out and about, and they'd say out and about. I wouldn't call it Irish. I don't know. Maybe the Irish sound Canadian when they pronounce that word. Maybe you should look at it that way. Who knows, Fran? Anyway, yeah. No, I don't know. But thanks for the question. Yeah, interesting. I don't know. Anyway, 200 people guessing our question on the app. 78.5% have the right answer, though, which is good, right? Our question on the app, which sentence or which word, or how do you say in English, I should say, adobado? When we're talking about meat, for example, carne pues adobado, do you say sauced? No. Some people are saying sauced, but no, it's not sauced. Passed to PDF. That was a joke. Nobody guessed that, but a few people did laugh about it. Marinated? A lot of people said marinated, and anyone who listened carefully to the first part of the show should know the answer is marinated. Yeah! Adobado in English, they marinated. We don't say adobated, which was D. Adobated. No. No. Okay, so well done. I mean, sauced. I understand how some people could say that, but no, the best answer is marinated. Adobado. Okay, marinated steak. Marinated meat, for example. Okay. Now, we do have a lot of people who wrote in, over 200 people. I thank you for your participation. Thanks for participating in that and all other parts of the show. And we're just about out of time. We have about a minute to go. So I'll remind you that when I finish today, I'm going to come back with another program, which is the Inglés Online TVE radio show. And I encourage you to connect on YouTube as well. We have a new YouTube channel called Inglés Online TVE, and you can watch the show live from the studio. You can watch the show being broadcast. So be sure to connect on YouTube and join us on the YouTube feed. We'll follow the content today. Class number 19 of the Inglés Online TVE course. Okay. So I'll be with you with that in just a couple minutes. I'm out of time, everybody, but I want to thank you so much for listening. Big thanks to Tino for a great job on the show as well. As I mentioned, I'm going to take a break now, but I'll be back with that new show in just a couple minutes. And one more time, the Twitter translation. So people are still writing in. Hay muchos altibajos a lo largo del año. There are a lot of ups and downs throughout. Let's go with that one. Throughout the year. A lo largo del año. Throughout the year. Okay, very good. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. I'll be back in a couple minutes with the new program. So stay right there, and I'll be right back. Bye-bye.
Gracias, guys. Bye-bye.
En el mundo de los negocios, el éxito no depende de la suerte. La clave es saber ver las oportunidades y aprovecharlas. Así que no dejes pasar esta oportunidad porque te lo vamos a poner muy, muy fácil. Hasta el 17 de febrero tienes la posibilidad de hacer el Master Vaughan de inglés para ejecutivos con un precio especial. Lo repetimos por si acaso. Uno de los más prestigiosos máster en inglés profesional con profesores especializados de Business English a un precio único. Llámanos al 91-133-5833 o entra en grupovaughan.com. El sobre está en o encima del escritorio.
The envelope is on the desk.
El sobre está debajo del escritorio.
The envelope is under the desk.
El sobre está al lado del escritorio.
The envelope is next to the desk.
Si estás buscando trabajo o quieres encontrar un puesto mejor, seguro que estás en LinkedIn. Pero si de verdad quieres dar un impulso a tu carrera, apúntate al Master Vaughan de Inglés Intensivo. Mejorarás tu nivel de inglés con un programa intensivo de 5 meses de duración y un método de aprendizaje único que incluye una inmersión en un entorno 100% angloparlante para que pongas en práctica lo que has aprendido. Llámanos ahora y verás que muy pronto encontrarás ese trabajo que buscas en LinkedIn o en cualquier otro lugar. Apúntate en el 91-133-5833 o en grupovaughan.com.